Help! I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to an all-new, brand-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. My name is Jared. I'm joined by Vanessa. Hello.
Hello,
Vanessa. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Jared?
I'm doing wonderful. It's always good to hear your voice.
I lost my voice a little bit. Yeah, do you hear that? My voice is a little bit...
It's a little raspy.
I find it actually a little sexy. I'm like, I kind of hope this stays, but I'm just a little bit sick.
That's so funny because I think the same thing. I think Ashley loves my voice when it's a little bit raspier, kind of Batman-esque.
Yeah, like a morning voice.
Totally. Yeah. It's the best. So anyway, we have our first guest. Dean is still on vacation, traveling the world, doing his thing.
Still,
he should be back.
Crazy.
What a vacation this is. Like a month.
I think it's more like a soul searching.
Yeah.
He's been gone for, I don't know, 4 years?
I will look into how long he's been gone because we may have to take his name out of the title pretty soon.
Nah, he's going to be back either next week or the week after, I believe. One of those two.
All right, we're excited to hear more stories from Dean.
Oh, I agree. But we have a very special guest in studio from the creators of the Mend app, which is an app that actually they mend broken hearts with. We have its creator, Elle.
So nice to be here.
Elle, it's so nice to... Elle, what's your last name?
I love the way you described that, by the way, because it sounded like we're actually putting together those broken hearts.
Well, that's the way the app is... That's the way you guys describe the app. So I joined the app because I wanted to find out more about this. Elle, first of all, what's your last name? I'm so sorry.
My last name is Huerta.
What? How do you say it?
Huerta.
Huerta?
Huerta.
Huerta.
You got to roll your R.
Elle Huerta.
Yeah. So
did I sound stupid when I said that?
I'm half Mexican.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And half.
So half. My dad is half, and then I'm half white. So. I'm mixed.
Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, I was like, should I go into? I just did my 23andMe, so should I tell you I'm like part British, more German.
Yeah, so I'm 1% Native American. I wanted to know your last name, so I didn't just introduce you as Elle.
Yeah, usually people say Huerta, like where to, but with an A. It's a little bit easier.
So Elle Huerta, you created this app, and it is called Mend.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I really built what I needed and wanted when I was going through a breakup myself. So it's very much like a best friend that's guiding you through a breakup. If your best friend had good advice and didn't get sick of hearing you talk about your breakup, it's like a personal trainer. So every day you check in and we deliver an audio training that's personalized to you based on what we know about you and what we know about your breakup. And it's kind of like this ongoing podcast that helps you mend throughout your breakup and then also beyond.
So you created this after you went through a breakup yourself?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a journey because I first launched a newsletter with breakup content and then I launched a breakup website, so like a blog. And then it was really through that whole experience that I had the idea for the app. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while since that first breakup that sparked it.
So what was different between the app and like the app that you have now and the website you had before?
Yeah, I mean,
was it just like a learning curve and then you finally kind of perfected what you wanted and that's what Mend is all about?
Well, the website was really a blog. So it was a place where we curated stories and I was curating advice from experts. The app is much more like an interactive experience. It really, you know, it feels conversational. You're actually messaging. Mm-hmm.
So who's messaging you back?
So the app is a conversational UI. So it's not a person, but it feels like you're messaging with a person. So we ask you every day how you're doing. We send you a training to listen to. We ask you to rate the training. We ask you, you know, questions about your breakup to help us personalize your training program. So it feels sort of like a best friend guiding you through the experience, which for us was important because one of the things that we kept hearing from people who were using our website was that they really missed just hearing from their ex throughout the day. That's one of the things you miss the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you were texting with someone all day long and then, and then all of a sudden it's just, you know, radio silent. So, that's why we wanted to build a conversational app.
This is very Black Mirror, isn't it? A little bit?
Well, it's not like a Siri, it's not AI.
But to people, I feel like they can develop an attachment to the UI.
It reminds me a little bit of that movie.
Oh yeah, what's that movie where he fell in love
Her.
With
Her. Her.
Yes,
Her.
With Joaquin Phoenix. That's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, I think because the user experience is very voice-based, so it's actually my voice in the app.
That it is.
I think people...
And your voice is very soothing.
Oh, well, thank you. But I think people get attached to that, but it's not any different from people who are attached to listening to your podcast. You know, I think it's, especially when you're going through a breakup, there's something really nice about hearing a human voice on the other end giving you advice versus just reading something on a website.
I think this is genius. When did this start, by the way? Because I wish I knew this, because I'm like the worst when it comes to breakups. So when did this, when did you launch this app?
So we launched the app last year in April. So we just celebrated our first anniversary.
Oh,
thank you. Yeah, it's been an amazing year.
I think this is great because, like you said, it's like a digital best friend. And sometimes it could get a little bit emotionally draining. I can talk for myself. I do like to maybe replay, you know, scenarios in my head. And maybe, you know, you have all those stages that you go through. And I talk to my family, my friends a lot about the relationship during the breakup, and I know it could get emotionally draining on their end. And sometimes they're like, okay, I don't want to hear it anymore. But I think this is a great idea because it's another outlet for people to use, and it's a third party too, right? So it's not like your best friend telling you things that you may want to hear. It's things that you should be, you know, you should be hearing from your friends and family.
Yeah, I think for better or worse, a lot of times when you're getting advice from people, they're projecting their own, you know, relationship history or their own ideas or opinions. So, you know, even though I'm the person reading the trainings, all of our trainings are created by experts, whether it's wellness experts or mental health experts.
And so would you consider yourself an expert?
I would. Yeah. I mean, I've been curating this type of content for years now, and it started as a real passion project. I felt like there wasn't a great place for high quality advice online when it came to breakups. Like, I remember the moment at 2 a.m. when I was Googling breakup advice on my phone and just getting all of these terrible, like, message, like, online forums and just awful advice and a lot of cliche advice. So I felt like there was a white space for that type of content. And I've just become so passionate about it, and I'm steeped in it every day.
Well, I joined Mend. I created an account because I wanted to figure this thing out for myself. So when, as soon as you walked into studio, I was like, I know that voice. Yeah. How do I know that voice? And then I realized you were the voice on Mend. So I created it. So I'm happily engaged. But I wanted to thank you so much. Now, you also, so I created it, my profile as a single person, to figure out what the app was all about to help somebody who's going through a breakup. But you say that there are people on this app that are actually in relationships. So why are people within relationships joining an app that is created to mend a broken heart?
Yeah, it was a surprise to us too when we first launched. So one of the questions we ask is, what is your relationship status? And we've seen that there are a lot of people who are joining Mend who are married or in relationships. I think it gets at something that is very universal, which is that relationships are challenging, you know, even the really wonderful ones. And so I think, you know, we have a lot of people who use Mend to get through a rocky period, like a rocky patch in a relationship. We have people who are thinking that maybe the relationship isn't right for them and they need support as they go through that process and figure out what the next step is. And
do you guys give relationship advice? For example, if somebody goes on there and they're texting and saying, I'm going through a rough patch with my, you know, significant other, but I want to be with them. How do I fix this? Do you guys give feedback on that?
So we aren't actually having a conversation with you, but we do get your input. So we ask questions throughout the process about you, about your breakup. And then every week you choose 3 to 4 themes that you really want to focus on. So if you're there, like for you, if you want to focus on just healthy relationship habits, you can do that. You don't have to focus on, you know, X trainings or heartbreak trainings or breakup trainings. And that's something that's a little bit newer for us. And we wanted to expand into that because it was one of our top requests.
Yeah, totally. No, yeah. When I say feedback, though, I don't mean, because I know that when I'm actually text messaging, I'm text messaging with a robot. How would you describe
our app?
Yeah. Our app. You're texting. Yeah. I'm texting with the app. And I understand that. But it is pretty cool because I saw on the website about how this is better than sending a drunk text to your ex.
Yes.
And so I love that.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. This is like a perfect way to like keep your dignity in check, you know? Because like you said, like most people miss hearing from their significant other, you know. So this is like a great way to like message the app. Kind of like, I guess, do you send out reminders? Do you send out?
Yes. Yeah, we send out a lot of reminders, and
You know, guys send out daily texts, don't you?
Yeah, they're not all app specific. So a lot of them are just, you know, little notes throughout the day, encouragement, motivation.
You can do it.
Like.
I like it.
Yeah. And it's funny because we have a really high opt-in rate for, they're called push notifications, which means that people really like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just goes back to the idea that you really, you miss that. You know, your ex.
Oh, totally. I think the only thing from the app for me when I was creating the account was the lack of, how do I put this, human interaction?
Yeah.
But I will say, so I got to the end of it after all the questions and kind of texting with the app back and forth. And at the end of it, whatever you guys deem is the best fit for a little monologue that you give at the end.
Yeah. I like that monologue. I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, it is. It's about a three. So you get through all the questions that they ask you about what your breakup is, how you're doing, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then at the end, Elle comes on with about a 4-minute little monologue that she just goes into trying to help you get through whatever broken heart you're trying to get past.
So is that different for every profile?
It is. Yeah. So okay. We have a huge library of trainings. And we personalize your training program. So, you know, if you went through a breakup because of infidelity, you're going to get a set of trainings that someone who went through a commitment breakup wouldn't necessarily get.
And that's what I enjoy about the app is that because there is, like you said, a lot of cliches out there and a lot of very vague sayings that people try to. Exactly.
Yeah, like just get over it.
Exactly. You know, or like just be the best you can be.
Right.
And which are all fun and great.
Jared.
I've created a profile for somebody who's single, who got broken up with 2 months ago because of distance, I think I put. Because I wanted to create something that, a profile for somebody that was maybe going through a breakup currently and trying to mend a broken heart because that's what the app is all about. But having said that, the app is more than that, which I do really like. And for me, while there wasn't that much human interaction throughout the text, as soon as your voice came on, it was very comforting. And I didn't realize that I'd get that much comfort from just a 4-minute monologue of saying, hey, it's going to be okay. We're here for you. And that was the really nice part of the app.
Yeah.
That I thought was a really nice touch because when I Google how to get over a breakup, there's no human interaction. But with this app, there is. And that's the big difference. And it is personalized for each person going through different circumstances. Unlike when you just Google, how do I get over a breakup? There's so many different answers out there. For this, it is for somebody going through a very specific type of breakup.
Yeah. Okay, well, since we're on the topic of, let's say, long distance or infidelity, since those are two topics you guys brought up, what are some important things to successfully get through a breakup like that? What kind of advice would someone like that find on the app?
Well, those are two really different types of breakups, but I would say, so infidelity is one of the most common breakup reasons for menders. So I think the last time I looked, it's still ranked number two.
What's number one?
Number one is commitment. Not surprising for our generation.
Lack of commitment?
Like everyone from LA is on the app?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But we actually have users in over 160 countries. So I think it's a global trend.
Oh, wow.
I do
this
think...
great news for me. Single. Yay.
I think it just speaks to... kind of the age group of our audience, which is, you know, mostly millennial. And I think that there's so much access to new relationships that it does take more, I think, to commit than it maybe did in the past. But when it comes to infidelity, we have a lot of trainings on infidelity. I would say trust. We have a lot of trainings on rebuilding trust. But I think one of the most fundamental things that we really try to impress upon people is that even though it feels so personal, you can't take infidelity personally. So you can't see it as a reflection on your own worth or
which
your
is hard. Yeah,
it's so hard. And so it's not something that you listen to 1 3-minute training and you feel better. But that's the whole point of mend, is that, you know, it's a long term companion. You're checking in every day. You're getting a training every day, and you're slowly building towards something.
So you guys are like personal trainers. Because that's what the New York Times called you, which is quite impressive, I must say. Do you find that accurate? Would you consider yourself like a personal trainer with love or broken hearts?
Absolutely. You know, I just saw, have you guys seen the Fred Rogers documentary?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, so there's a documentary on him, and he says, one of the things that he says that I loved is
Can
that...
I, Is Fred Rogers Mr. Rogers?
That's him.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Oh,
just
sorry.
Oh my God, yes. I've heard of that. But, yeah.
I was going to say, I was like, yeah. Fred Rogers, who the hell is that? Okay, Mr. Rogers.
Maybe
I'm
aging myself. I think I am the oldest one.
How old
are
you?
I'm 32.
Oh, you don't look a day over 27.
Did you watch Mr. Rogers?
I used to watch Mr. Rogers. Okay. Oh, yeah, of course. Won't you be my neighbor?
True fans also know his first name. So.
Fred, seriously.
But anyways, in this documentary, one of the things that he said is that love is at the root of everything, either love or the lack of it. And I really believe that. And so, yes, I consider us, you know, personal trainers for heartbreak. I think that there are so many other areas, like when it comes to finances, you get like a financial planner. And when it comes to fitness, sometimes you get a personal trainer. And why not have that for one of the most core parts of who you are as a person?
You know? Your heart.
Yeah.
I totally agree. So I have a quick question too. You talked about training that you go through on the app.
Yeah.
Do you have any type of couples training, or is this specific to, for one person going through one circumstance?
That is a great question. So,
I try.
Yeah. So we are very focused on the individual who's using Mend. So we're really focused on helping you through your breakup experience, and then also helping you develop the relationship that you have with yourself, which really does set the foundation for the relationship you have with other people. But we are really focused on just that one person. But we do have people who are in couples who use Mend at the same time.
So because, all right, so at the end of when I signed up for the profile, at the end, there's a journal.
Yeah.
Now, when I write into the journal, is the app responding, or do you guys go through that at all and kind of read some...
No, the journals are encrypted.
Oh, okay.
So they're private.
So nobody can read the journals except for yourself, whoever's writing it.
Exactly. Yeah, so no one on our team can, not even our engineers can read it.
And
that was really important to me because I felt like, you know, writing is very therapeutic, but it's also something, it's very private. And so we wanted to keep that private for people. It's funny because we have some people who write in and they ask us, you know, can we pay extra for you to read the journal and give us more advice? But I think it's just kind of a slippery slope. I think the majority of people really see that as a safe space where they can express whatever they're feeling and not be worried
so
about anyone
that be
reading.
Part of the progress tracking?
Yeah.
Is that separate?
Yeah. So every day you journal, which, you know, A lot of research has been done that it's really helpful to journal and check in daily when you're going through a breakup. But the progress tracking is really around a couple of metrics in the app. So we have we track two things when you're going through a breakup. We track days since ex contact, and then we track
days since last contact.
Yeah, last ex contact, and then we track days since breakup. And you have the ability to actually hide those if you don't want to track it. But I think the ex contact one is really important. It's one of our most used features. And we in our community, actually, people will share their count and share that milestone like every week. Like, hey, guys, you know, it's been 60 days, the hardest 60 days of my life. But, you know, I'm doing it one day at a time.
Do you think you should cut off communication with an ex?
So one of the things that I love about what we do is that we personalize our advice.
I'm speaking
Yeah, in general, that is one of the things that I do really stand by with men, but also personally. I don't think that you have to cut someone out forever. I think it is really important, and research backs this up, that if you're trying to move forward, you need to have some buffer room to recalibrate. And it goes to the fact that so much of a relationship is hormonal and neurochemical. And if you if you stay connected to your ex, you're still exchanging all of this hormonal feedback with them. And it's very much like an addiction. So the only way that you will, you know, eventually be able to be friends with them or have any type of relationship down the line with them is if you kind of take a break and break that chemical bond. It's something that Helen Fisher has studied a lot, who's one of the experts on love. But she recommended about 60 days is what you need to get through that hump, that like withdrawal period. And it really feels like withdrawal. I'm sure you guys have experienced that before, but it is like going through withdrawal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying. This app is kind of like whenever you have that urge where you wake up. I find like after a breakup, I don't know if you guys can relate to this, the morning are the worst because you're waking up like you check your phone and you kind of have some sort of expectation that they would have emailed you or texted you or you would have had like a missed call from them the next day, you know, and
just waking up alone, it's horrible.
Yeah, like no, they did not think of me during the night or last night or this morning and they haven't messaged me.
Yeah.
And you kind of like start off your day with that expectation. Like, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll hear from them throughout the day. So I think that app is great. Like I said, to teach your dignity too. I have a question. How does one, I guess, for lack of a better term, graduate from this app? Like, how do you succeed, like the breakup part? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's different for everyone. Every heartbreak is so unique. But one of the things that we see happen when people are kind of beyond that really acute, painful heartbreak phase is that they change which milestones they're tracking. So instead of tracking days since ex contact, days since breakup, they start tracking how many trainings they've done. And that's basically switching from what we call breakup milestones to mending milestones. And we also notice that, you know, every week we ask you to choose themes that are top of mind for you that you need help with. And we start to see that people are choosing themes around self-care, self-love, dating. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, dating content, relationship content, and they start choosing other types of things. So they're not so focused on their ex and their breakup. And that's really, I think, the turning point for a lot of people.
And I think that's the point of this app, which is so good. It acts as kind of a filler. Like, it makes you focus on the app rather than your ex, because I've been there before. I'm sure a lot of people have been there before listening to this, where like you have that ex that you still just kind of hang out with, that you still might like get together with, spend nights with, and just get back into that comfort zone. And it's just so unhealthy, because what you really need is to distract yourself and get away from that situation. And I think this is a great app to do that, to try to really focus your energy on something else, whether it be through text messaging, training, journal writing, rather than focusing on your ex, because
checking their Instagram stories.
Exactly. Oh, stalking them on social media. It's
that's
like
one
the modern
of the biggest vices.
Totally. It's like the modern day way of driving past somebody's house. You know how like people used to drive past their house, see if the car was still in driveway.
Oh, the
going through somebody's
breakup.
Instagram is the exact same way, but now it's way easier to do that, because you're not going to get caught unless you accidentally like one of their pictures from like 12 weeks prior, and then that's really embarrassing.
Yeah, we actually have a meme about that on our Instagram account. That is one of the worst things ever when you get caught doing that.
Oh,
but it's the most common breakup vice. Instagram is so hard.
And that's the hardest part of breaking up today, is that like they're still just right in your face.
So
and
accessible.
So totally. That's what I advocate. What you say, like, block them, just cut off communication for a while, because that's the healthiest thing.
I think blocking is a little bit much. I think like maybe just deleting them off of your, you know.
Do you have good willpower though?
Especially if they're a public profile?
Even if they're public, I just feel like it's, unless it ended badly. Like, I've never really had a horrible breakup with anyone. But of course, like, I'm an emotional person. So for me, it was like a big deal to break up. Even I dated someone for like 2 weeks. It was like, no, you know, like, why did we break up? But I for me, it's just a level of respect. Like, I'm not going to block them.
I don't think it's...
I'll delete them. I'll delete them so that, like, for me, it's like, I don't know, I guess like it's all psychological for me. Like, I'll delete their number off of my phone. And that's like, for me, a way to kind of start like dissolving the issue, you know, like the relationship, so that I can start from scratch, but still maintaining that respect for the person that I dated. Having to go the extra mile of like blocking them and being dramatic.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah, but for me, I just don't have the willpower. If I just simply delete somebody, I'm going to still somehow get their number and still either contact them or like even with Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, whatever. Like, sure, I can unfollow them, but I'm still going to search you and try to find you. What I need to do is like take drastic measures. And it's not a respect thing for me. It's not like I don't cherish the time we had. But for me, the healthiest thing is to really cut off communication. And it's really difficult to do that. I'm not saying it's easy. What I'm saying is I advocate it. And like, it's not a disrespect thing. It has nothing to do with that I hate you. It's more so I need to just cut you out of my life for a little while, because if I don't, then you're going to consume a lot of my time. And that time I need to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have to keep yourself in check, right? Like, if it becomes an unhealthy obsession, which for a lot of people it does. I mean, Instagram is so addictive, and then you're going through withdrawal. So all you want to see is a photo of your ex. And they've they've done research that seeing a photo of your ex triggers the same things in your brain as, you know, seeing them in real life. So it's so important to just be mindful of what you're doing on Instagram and how much time you're spending, how much stalking you're doing.
I just want to go on an ex's profile and see a picture of them crying and how sad they are without me and lonely. I don't want to see them like with somebody else, how happy they are. That's why I go on their profiles. On vacation, they're doing so much better without
me. I really can.
Hold up. We all know that whatever you see on social media, half the time is not real.
That's true.
How can everyone have a perfect life on, you know what I mean? So, if they're posting all these amazing pictures of them on vacation and out having fun and looking good, they're probably hoping that you're checking their Instagram page to see if how they're doing so that they can make you feel worse about the breakup.
And I fall into the trap every single time. Well, I used to, not anymore. I'm very happy.
But it's good for whoever's listening for them to understand that, you know?
Totally.
Not everything you see on social media is real life, guys. So people are sad. Some people are happy. But at the end of the day, it comes down to what, like you said, Jared, it comes down to willpower. And I guess I have a little bit of willpower to not go out of my way to contact someone. But you know what? That's not true. I've lost my dignity in so many situations after breakups. I'm like, my friends are like, stop texting, stop calling. I'm like, I can't.
It's hard.
It's just. And I didn't know this Mend app existed, so now I do.
Totally, it's an addiction. It's unbelievable. But talking about social media, it is funny. If I'm out somewhere and I'll see, a group of girls or a group of guys, and they're just kind of hanging out, but then somebody about to post a selfie, and they all start yelling and holy crap, the best time ever! And then they'll take the picture and I'll look at it, and then immediately going back to just kind of standing around and drinking
silence.
A beer. And it's unbelievable how you're absolutely right, Vanessa. Where my mind when I'm out, if I'm out at a concert and having fun, and I see people do that, I realize, oh my God, they're just doing it for the gram. But then I go back home and I'm watching TV by myself, not anymore. I have my beautiful fiance with me. But years ago when I was watching TV by myself and I'd go on Instagram and see these people doing the exact same thing I just saw, for some reason, that still triggers FOMO. And even though I know that they're just doing it for the phone, I don't know. It's a hard thing to really get. But I'm sorry.
One thing that I think can be really helpful, and I think a lot of people have started doing this now, especially menders, but doing kind of an audit of who you're following on Instagram, and just make sure that you're following really positive accounts that uplift you, that are more advice oriented. Because sometimes you don't realize the impact of all the content you're scrolling through, and you might actually need to change the content that you're seeing during that period.
And I think we oftentimes forget social interaction, hanging out with your friend and having face-to-face conversations with them. It's crazy. And I'm guilty of this, where I'm I have so much to do today, but I'll, FaceTime my mom instead of drive up to her house and go see her in person when we live in the same city. So I think it's important to also have that balance of, yes, having uplifting positive accounts on your Instagram, but really go back to basics. Remember when we were kids, we didn't have cell phones or any way of communicating with our family until you knew the sun was setting. So that's when you had to go home.
Totally. Oh,
my friend is at my house now, and she's I was messaging her. I'm like, hey, where are you? 5 minutes away. Hey, I'm here. Instead of me just going downstairs and waiting for her, I was texting her every 5 minutes to see where she was.
As a kid, I'd be playing tag around the neighborhood, running around, not even caring, not having care in the world. And now I take 2 steps away from my condo without my phone and wallet, and I start crying because I'm afraid I'm going to get lost. I do want to ask this, Al, really quickly, because you had a very famous female actor that had an interview.
I was gonna ask. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
I had a crush on her.
Great minds think alike, Vanessa. So you had Jessica Alba do an interview.
How did that happen?
Yeah, how did it happen?
And so that was an amazing, really surreal moment. We went on this show called Planet of the Apps, which was an Apple series.
That is an amazing name. Holy moly.
I know. And we had to, it was sort of like The Voice. So we had to do a pitch, and I was on a moving escalator and was pitching to Jessica Alba, Gwyneth Paltrow, Will.i.am, and Gary Vee, and had to pitch them on the idea of why they should be my mentor and help me through this incubator period. And then together, Jessica and I pitched to Lightspeed Ventures, which is a big VC in Silicon Valley. They were one of the first investors in Snapchat, and tried to get them to give me money. So I went through, I went through that experience with her, and that was right before we launched the app. It was incredible. She's, an expert brand builder and storyteller, and she helped me through the rebrand of Mend and through the launch of our app. It was amazing.
And is she still involved with the app?
So, I mean, she is very supportive from the sidelines. She's not intimately involved with what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. She has quite a bit going on.
She's a little busy.
she just had third kid. No, but she's...
And looks amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing and was so helpful through that process. And we're really lucky that, you know, she is one of our mentors.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible when you have Jessica Alba helping you launch your app. So, Jessica, if you're looking to, you know, I don't know, launch another app, any ideas, just come. You can find me at helpisuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. But, Elle, I want to thank you so much for coming in. This was such a wonderful interview.
Thanks for having me. It was fun to be here.
I'm a big supporter of the app.
I have one question, actually, for you guys about your cover art that I'm dying to know. Is it like a menage a trois version of the Titanic stance with?
I never thought of it in that way.
What is a menage a trois?
Our cover picture, Vanessa, the one that is for Help I Suck.
I've been trying to figure that out.
Dean and myself are lifting you up.
No, that was not my idea. I'm like, let's do something silly, and that was silly.
Okay, Easton is showing us the picture right now.
I thought it was a Titanic reference. Okay, I've been trying to figure that out for the longest time.
I know.
No, we don't know what we were doing.
Okay. It was like, hey, let's lift Vanessa up. And then we took a picture, and then that became the cover art of the podcast. Oh. I know. I love how I'm smiling. I'm like smiling like a 12-year-old little boy. Vanessa's giggling because she has two men just lifting her up in the air. Dean is Leonardo DiCaprio. And then Dean just has this look on his face like, if I had a nickel for every time I lifted a girl in the air. Elle, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Definitely go check out the Mend app. Anybody going through a broken heart, and even if you're not, and you're just going through some difficult times in your relationship and really just want somebody to talk to, definitely go check out this app. Elle, is there anything else you'd like to say, add in, where people can find you?
You can find us on the App Store. So we're iOS only right now, and you can follow us on social media at Let's Mend. And if you want to follow me, I'm Ellen Huerta on Instagram.
Perfect. And that's MEND, Mend. All right. Thanks, Elle.
Thanks, Elle. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was great. Elle, wow. She was really impressive, huh? Good God.
Yeah.
All right. All on my lonesome on that one. What she did have, though, when she first walked in, I noticed right away was a beautiful head of hair. That's very important to me. I know, Vanessa, but you have beautiful hair, so you get to see yourself in the mirror every day.
Thank you so much. You're always so complimentary.
You know, I try.
Speaking of beautiful hair, Jessica Alba, who's also part of that app that we were talking about, Mend, love Jessica Alba's hair. I was actually just listening to Ariana Grande. That's another celebrity that I think has great hair. It's always like in a high ponytail, and it's like super thick and luscious.
Wait, how can you know that she has great hair if it's always in a ponytail? You can tell
it's
that?
In a ponytail, it's thick. Yeah. So when I tie my hair, like, I'm like, all right, I hope it looks like Ariana Grande. It looks like it's thick, it's long, it's shiny. You don't want to only have great hair when your hair is down as a girl.
No, that's fair.
You want to have great hair when it's curly and straight and a ponytail or in a bun.
Totally.
If you can picture any celebrity with amazing hair like Jessica Alba or Ariana Grande, you can bet that they have a stylist who clues them in to the yummy, delicious Little Gummies Sugar Bear Hair. Sugar Bear Hair is a bestseller on Amazon with thousands of great reviews. You guys have seen me post about it. I actually just got my shipment, I think, last week with like 6 new bottles. I'm really excited. They taste like sweet, delicious candy made with real juice from real berries, but they contain everything you need for stronger and healthier hair. They're gluten-free, soy-free, cruelty-free. They support strength and shine of your hair and nails. I've been using it for a year, maybe a little bit over a year. My hair grows a lot longer, and I do feel like it's like a little bit thicker now. It has as much vitamin A as 4 cups of broccoli, as much vitamin C as 1 cup of cranberries, and as much vitamin B12 as 4 organic eggs. Nutrients in Sugar Bear Hair fans also found their nails and skin quality improved over time. So everyone that's been asking me and DMing me about what my skincare routine is, nothing has changed, but I guess it is a Sugar Bear Hair. I didn't think of it that my skin quality, you know, it's like not shinier, but it looks like dewier, my skin.
Yeah,
softer.
I'm sure it looks wonderful. I wish I could see you in person so I can compliment you, but you've always had great skin, and Sugar Bear Hair is just improving it, which I didn't even know was possible. Sugar Bear Hair, good God, it is amazing. Ashley loves it. Vanessa, I know that you love it. So listen, I know you guys are going to love it as well, everybody listening to this podcast. So what you have to do in order to get this is you go to sugarbearhair.com/help. You go there for beautiful hair and a healthier you. That's sugarbearhair.com/help, H-E-L-P, sugarbearhair.com/help. Go there today to get your shipment of Sugar Bear Hair. Vanessa loves it. I'm going to try it out, get some. I mean, my hair is already pretty thick, so I don't know if I want to get it that much thicker. But
they taste delicious.
They do taste delicious, so it's really hard to turn down. All right. Well, we also have another wonderful guest that's waiting on the line for us. This guest, his name is Bill Freeman. He is from a online matchmaking website called lovestorymatchmaking.com. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Bill, how you doing? This is Jared.
How are you?
Yeah, so it's Jared and Vanessa.
Okay, great. And I'm joined by Sonia, our head matchmaker.
Okay, yes, yeah, Sonia,
oh,
how
hi,
are
Sonia.
You?
Yay! Hi. Thank you for having us.
No, thank you for coming into our podcast. We appreciate it. So tell us a little bit about your website, lovestorymatchmaking.com.
Lovestorymatchmaking.com is an exclusive offline matchmaking agency. We pride ourselves on taking the process offline, making it more personal, making it more exclusive. None of the profiles that people fill out, all the information they give us, is not available to anyone online. It's for our internal use only for matchmaking purposes.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So it attracts, a person that is a busy professional that doesn't have time for all of the online dating apps, who wants a little privacy, a little more, exclusivity, a more tailored-made approach to matchmaking.
That's fair. So my question is, you go online to find lovestorymatchmaking.com, but then you say that your matchmaking is offline. So they put in they do a survey, correct? Everybody goes on, does a survey to kind of personalize their little profile. And then what do you guys do after that?
Exactly. So they'll log into our system, give us some basic information about them, and then someone from our team will reach out and get them started with a profile and give them a password to access all of the detailed information that we need to get them started. And then they're able to upload their photos from there, and then we'll schedule an in-depth consultation with everyone who comes through the system.
Yeah, in addition to that, we do identity verification, background checks, personality testing. And so, a lot of people's experience with the online apps, and there's a lot of them, is that, you don't know what you're actually getting. And we do a lot of the legwork and verification and find out a lot about you and what your personality is really all about and helps our clients find somebody that they're really looking for.
So I have a question. I'm single. Let's say I were to sign up to lovestorymatchmaking.com. I were to build my profile. Would I be the one to handpick the person I think best suits me? Or would you come back to me with a list of men that you think would be a great match for me?
So how it would work is, if you were a client of Love Story and I'm searching on your behalf, you fill out your profile. I get to know you really well, go through all your criteria points, what you're looking for, who you're looking to meet, in detail. And it equates to an executive search almost, if you can visualize that. So I would find him for you. And over the course of 1 year, it's a year contract, you would meet, anywhere from 2 to 3 introductions a month that are vetted and based on the criteria points that are important to you. So there's
you
no
would then be the men.
I meet everyone in person. Yes, exactly. I would send you the men and bring the introductions to you one at a time. So you wouldn't see, you would see a bio before the introduction. And of course, I would bring them to life and tell you all about them and everything I know about them and their personality, everything that's important about meeting someone. I kind of do the coffee date first for you. And then you would
so the awkward first date, you do that for us.
Yes, exactly. I meet everyone in person and make sure that it's a match before you go out with them.
That's really interesting. I like that because it's always that awkward first moment where you're like, oh, what do you do? What do you do? And then sometimes it's just you find out that you have nothing in common. And what your matchmaking does is that you guys make sure that you do have common interests and that you do live in similar areas to make sure that this is something that could potentially work for the long term. I really like that.
Exactly. And even like relationship goals, and it gets really, you know, deeper than that. It's like, what are your relationship goals? Are you looking just for, you know, to date? Are you marriage minded? Are you, you know, you ever see yourself getting married or having children, or, you know, really getting down to the details of what the basis of a relationship can build on before you even meet that person.
So, Bill, Sonia, thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate you coming in and talking about your love story matchmaking. It's a very interesting idea, very different. I like how it's offline dating, not online dating, and that's something that intrigues me a lot. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about before we let you go, where we can find you, the online, the website?
Yes, just, you know, log into lovestorymatchmaking.com and fill out, you know, go to the about you, and we will contact you with a username and password to get going and start your own love story.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate it. Bill and Sonia from lovestorymatchmaking.com. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jared, I have a question for you. I went on lovestorymatchmaking.com to see what it was all about and how they have a personality test to better match you with a partner. Uh-huh. And then I was thinking, so, you know, like, dating is really not easy. And, like, I'm in right now trying to date. And I start thinking of, you know, I want someone who has similar personality traits as me. But then it's also like, let's say I think, and now hopefully I'm formulating this question properly and it makes sense. Let's say I think I'm someone who's intelligent, but I don't really want
to. You are intelligent, Vanessa.
Okay, thank you. So, like, and then I meet a guy, and the guy is more intelligent than I am. And then he becomes intimidating, and then it becomes like an awkward, you know, like, I can't fully be myself, because then the one thing that I knew I was really good at, or the one quality that I had that was really, like, intriguing to men, has now become something that I don't think I can have. And you know what I mean? Because, like, he takes over that quality.
So you want to be... So you're trying to say you want to be smarter than your significant other?
No, I'm trying to give, like, an example of, like, a quality that you think you have. Like, let's say, Jared, you're funny. You want to be with some, like, well, now you're engaged, but, like, when you were dating, and you, did you want to date someone that was funny as well, or did you want to date someone that just enjoyed your humor?
Yeah, I got you. You're like George Costanza right now from Seinfeld, where, like, he can't date anybody funnier than him. Like, it's just, I got you. For me, the quality that, like, I think, I don't think I've ever really thought about a quality that I want to have some, you know, like, over Ashley.
I mean, when you were, like, dating, you know, like, now I'm open to dating, and I'm starting to think of, okay, of course I want to be, and I am being more selective with the men that I'm inviting into my personal space.
Of course, as you well should.
Yeah, and I start thinking, like, am I just becoming way too picky? Because there's...
I gotcha.
You know, and, you know, like, and I'm like, oh, is it because, like, oh, he's funnier than me, so I don't want to date him because he's funnier than me, and that's the one thing I know I'm good at? Or, I'm not saying I'm funny, but I'm just saying a quality that... you know, that you think you can have. And I think that's the problem that some of us encounter. And I
agree.
Maybe it's ego, because you're like, well, no. I'm really good at this and I want to be good at this.
No, you're absolutely right. Vanessa, you're hysterical. But listen, I do have an answer for your question now, because when I went on The Bachelorette, I don't know if you remember this, I had to choose between two bachelorettes. I had Britt and I had Caitlin.
Right.
And so I remember going in there, obviously meeting them both for the first time, thinking Caitlin is too funny. Caitlin is too witty. She's too outgoing. She, like, I was always intimidated by Caitlin, mm-hmm. because I mm-hmm. thought that while I find myself a conversationalist and I'm able to banter, she would always have something, and she would just outwit me, and I couldn't keep up, and she would just blow the doors off me type thing, right? And mm-hmm. so that's why I was more intrigued by Britt, because I was always intimidated mm-hmm. by Caitlin. And then I met them, and then I found out, oh, wait a minute. No, I can keep up with Caitlin. This is something that I'm interested in. And so I think, and for me personally, it was more so a confidence thing. I'll never forget my first night on The Bachelorette. I was not confident at all. God, I felt like I was going to throw up the entire night. Somehow, miraculously.
We all felt that way.
Exactly, right? Miraculously, I got a rose, and then I was able to go on the next week. And I remember thinking that if I let my insecurities get the best of me, I'm going to be voted off next week. And I'm probably going to look like a jackass because I'm just always going to be scared and shy. And, oh, no, I don't want to, like, disturb the peace. I don't want to cause any drama. I'm just going to hide in the background. And so that week, my first week, it was a boxing date that I had. And I remember thinking to myself, Jared, you either suck it up and pull yourself up by the pants and have this confidence about you, or you're going to let your insecurities get the best of you and you're going to look like an idiot and be sent home and you're going to regret everything. And so that week, I decided to put all my doubts to the side and be confident. And then that's when I found out that, like, oh my God, I think I might have, like, a connection with this girl, and I think I might like her. And and then I started finding that I, like, yes, she had a lot of banter and she was witty and clever and funny, but I was keeping up because I was just being myself and being confident. So I think when you're dating somebody, Vanessa, and you're out there and you might think that they're super funny and smart and intelligent and they have so many things going and you might feel a little intimidated, just try to focus on yourself in that moment and realize, wait a minute, I've got my own going on right now that I'm really confident about, and focus on that rather than focusing on how quote unquote perfect they seem. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. No, I get that. I think it's hard, like, when you're, especially as you're getting, I don't think I'm old, but I think as you're getting older, you know, I'm turning 31 in 2 months, and I'm like, I want to make sure that the next person I invite into my little world here and I introduce my friends and family is someone that I'm really, 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 really connecting with and I know I can see a future with. So I think right now I'm in my head sometimes and I think of why. Why do I like this person or why do I not like them or why am I intimidated by
them?
You
got to get out of your head.
About it. It was like, yeah, but then, you know, at one point I met someone and I was a little intimidated. I'm like, why am I intimidated? And I think it was because they were so funny. And I'm like, I can't think of something funnier to, like, text back to them or to say back. So maybe I'm going to be, and then maybe they might perceive me as someone boring. So maybe I should stop talking. You know what I mean?
No, anyway. Of course. And listen, I was in my head for a very long time, for years, until this past January, when I realized that because I've been in my own head and doubting everything and been scared to actually make a decision and trust my gut and go with it, I almost lost the most important person in my life, which was Ashley. And thank God I realized that I was in my own head and realized that I needed to get out of my own head in order to achieve the goals that I wanted to achieve. And it was the best decision that I've ever made in my entire life. And so that's my advice, is that the more in your head you are, the worse your life is going to be. Go with your gut.
Dating. What are you doing here?
I'm just giving advice. That's what I'm on the podcast for. I'm giving advice because what I'm telling you is follow your heart and trust your gut and go after the things you want to go for, because there's nothing worse than living with regret. How many times, I remember thinking this when I was first talking to Ashley and expressing my feelings, because all I could think about was all of like, not my older friends, but just like older guys that I've met throughout my life who have always been like, you know, if I could go back, I should have said something to her. I should have gone after this person. Or why the hell didn't I say something? And like, I was too prideful and I never did anything and told people how I felt. And I should have told them every day how much I love them. And that's what all this was going through my head. And I was like, I need to do something. I need to step up to the plate. I need to just get out of my head and go after what I want. And so that would be my advice for you, is that, like, don't overthink things.
I do. No, I do. I do go after what I want. I think that's the issue, because it's like, dude, like, why didn't you come after me? Anyway, enough about my...
Well, I have one more thing I want to say just very quickly. You know what I always equate it to is, remember when you were giving presentations back in school and you'd be sitting there and... I'd be sweating. I'd be so nervous. I never wanted to go in front of the class because I knew I was just going to stutter and be shy and I was scared. And then I always remember seeing the people up there that were like me, that were scared and sweaty and would become self-aware of it and be like, I'm really sorry, guys. I'm just nervous. And their presentation would suck. And then even though they did the work beforehand, they were prepared, but in the moment, they just couldn't get out of their own head and they were so terrified and their presentation was awful. And then you'd get to the next guy who didn't do any work beforehand, who just went up there and winged it. But because he was so confident in the moment, or at least pretending to be confident, his presentation killed because he was just able to have charisma and really be himself. And it didn't matter if he really knew what he was talking about or not, but just the fact that he was confident in himself and it was entertaining to watch. And so I kind of equate that with dating a little bit, where even though I'm nervous going in,
I don't think it comes down to, like, what I'm trying to say is I don't think it comes down to confidence. For me, it's like if I see something I want to, you know, pursue, or someone I want to pursue, like, I have no shame in being that person to either, you know, approach them or to, you know, ask their friend for their number. Like, I have no shame in doing that.
That's a good quality to have. What I'm saying, and that's really good to have. For me, when I was dating, it was more so if I was nervous, I would try to overcompensate. And then that's when I was, you know, saying dumb things because I was trying to be funnier than I actually am, or I was trying to come off smarter than I actually am. When actuality, no, I'm funny when I can be, and I'm smart in certain areas of life, and then other areas I'm dumb, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so I think
I was like asking during for this lovestorymatchmaking.com website if you have the you have to do the personality test, and you, like, let's say I would want someone funny or whatever, would someone write like, I want someone funny but not funnier than me, you know, like, how would you, like, you, even if someone has all the qualities that you think would match your personality type, your personality traits, is it like, do you want them more educated than you, less, you know what I mean? There's always like that.
Is that what the personality test asks? Do they want somebody smarter?
No. I'm just saying, like, obviously for personality, you want someone who, I don't know. I went on the website to see what they did, but I didn't click on the personality test. All I'm asking is, do you think sometimes, well, now that you're engaged, we need to get Dean on the phone here.
I know, right? Where is Dean? Well, just talk to me. Listen, I've lived a very single life for a very long time.
Yeah. It's just like you start thinking, okay, why do I like this guy? I like this guy because he has this in as personality traits. Or why am I intimidated by this person? Is it because they have, you know, more success than you? And is that something that you feel that you need to work on individually in order to have a successful relationship with that person who ultimately has everything that you want in a significant other? But it's something that you need to work on. So that's what I was trying to say. Does it come down to, like, things that your ego, or things that you need to work on because it's stuff that you, you know, that you feel like you need to do to be a little bit better at? Or does it come down to not knowing what it is that you want in personality traits and the person that you want to be dating?
Well, I
feel like I'm talking in circles right now. I don't think I'm making sense.
Well, what I'm going to say is that I think a lot of people make excuses because in actuality, they're just afraid of commitment. Because it is a very scary endeavor to take on, to be like, okay, I'm going to commit myself to this person and just you, and I pray to God it works out. And I think a lot of people are scared of that, and I was for a very long time, and I kept making excuses to be like, oh, it's not working out because of this, or it's not working out because of that, when in actuality it wasn't working out because I wasn't willing to really stick to my convictions. And I think that's a part of being in your own head, because you just, you know, you always think of the worst rather than think of the best. And human beings would just do that in nature. And then I also think in terms of, you know, you go out and you're like, oh, well, I like him for this, or I like him for this, or for that. I don't think you can really quantify love. Like, there's, like, even when I think about Ashley, I'm like, yeah, I love her because she's endearing and sweet and honest, and I can list off all these qualities. But the reason I love her most is something that I can't even put into words.
So
I think even when you're on dates with people and you're like, you know, I really like them because of this and that, and I think it comes down to when you know, and when you get, you know, those feelings of like, I want to pursue something with this right. person, you know, that's like the point where, you know, like you just kind of, you can't describe it, if
so
I'm making sense.
Stop overthinking. Gotcha.
That would be my best. Yeah. I mean, definitely think, you know, always think, but just try not to overthink.
Overthink. Okay.
You know what we need to talk about for a second here? Something
Tell
that's
me, Derek.
Very important, very near and dear to my heart. Do you guys know 90 Day Fiancé?
Oh, I think a lot of us do.
Well, there's a show called 90 Day Fiancé, Before the 90 Days. And guess what? It premieres. It's back, guys. It's back on Sunday, August 5th at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock Central on TLC. It's the 90-day countdown known around the world. So TLC, you guys know what that channel is. It hits show 90 Day Fiancé is taking you on a journey from the very beginning and going before the 90 days. These couples fell in love online, and now we get to see their first date halfway around the world. So pretty much they're dating where Dean is right now. They're taking a huge risk and putting their life on the line for love. 90 Day Fiancé, it's a culture shock, language barriers, there's unexpected twists and turns. Can these relationships survive, and who will get down on one knee for that long proposal? Some of these couples don't even speak the same language and have to use a translator app to communicate. That is insane.
That's crazy.
If that Ashley spoke a different language, I'm not sure how it would work, but I'm excited to see if these couples can make it through. Can you imagine buying an engagement ring for someone you've never met in person? That's insanity to me. But, you know, sometimes you got to take a risk for love. It's a leap of faith, really. So
sometimes it works.
Sometimes it works.
And some of them have only talked online. This is just crazy. Some of them have only talked online. Anything is possible when they meet in person. When they arrive in a foreign country, will their soulmate be there to meet them? Or will they turn out to be who they say they are? Will they return home engaged or heartbroken? So let's meet some of the cast, Rachel and John. So she's a single mom from New Mexico. He's from England and has a criminal record.
Yikes.
They met, get this, on a karaoke app, which actually is my favorite.
What is a karaoke app? Do you get to meet like other people that want to sing the same song?
I think so. I think it's like a dual thing, and your screen pops up and you can sing the same song together.
I'm thinking that you can meet your soulmate on karaoke app. I'm feeling good about that one.
I mean, I'll have to try that out. There's also a 52-year-old, Angela, is from Georgia. And head over heels for her 30-year-old Nigerian sweetheart, Michael, whose friends question why he's dating a grandma. That's not nice.
A grandma? 52 years old? Well, I mean, she might be a grandma, but 52 years is still pretty young.
And age is just a number. And then there's Marta and Daya.
It's my favorite.
Guess this. Marta is a Catholic exotic dancer, and Daya is a Muslim and doesn't speak English. She's flying to Algeria to meet him. So this is... sounds like three interesting dates I would love to see. Again, it's 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days. Premiere Sunday, August 5th at 8, 7 Central on TLC channel. We all love to watch. This is really interesting.
It's crazy to think that like you're going to go and meet the person that you might be engaged to halfway across the world.
Language. Yep.
Don't speak the same language. Have only spoke online, never met each other, and you're going to go and you're going to take the risk of hopefully finding love with that person.
It can work out. Look at us. I mean, we ended up on The Bachelor, so hey, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. I truly believe that. I'm excited to check it out. 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days. Check it out, guys. August 5th.
All right. So do we have time for emails? I think there's a few that we got.
There are some in here, yes.
Jackpot.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Here's Heather. Heather says a guy on Tinder was talking to her this morning, and by this afternoon, they were exchanging numbers and they've been texting. Basic questions. Now he's asking to FaceTime. I've been packing to move all day. I'm writing a paper for school. That's so not pretty. I don't want to FaceTime with somebody I don't know and have never met. I told him, no thanks. I have to work on my paper. And he said, ouch. What's your opinion on this? Is it okay to initiate a FaceTime at this point? And what's he doing? Help, I suck at dating.
Well, since I'm the single one here, I'm not on Tinder, but obviously I do meet people when I go out or through friends or whatever. And we'll obviously start initiating a conversation through text message, which is fun. But then you can't really see, how they are, in person, So before you end up meeting that person face-to-face, I think it's a great idea to FaceTime. I personally love FaceTiming. And so what if you're, sweaty and writing a paper for school? And, I don't know, Jared, do you feel like, don't you want to meet the person that if you want to have a serious relationship with someone, don't you want to meet them in their element, not all dolled up or, having to be on their A game?
I just think I want to see their face before I actually meet them in person. And I kind of like this guy being like, hey, you want to FaceTime only after a few text messages? Get to the point. Let's do this. We met on a dating app. I think you're cute. Let's just FaceTime.
Yeah, but the fact that he said out, buddy, really? The world doesn't revolve around you. It's fine if he has shit going on. And Heather, actually, I actually bow down to you for saying no thanks. Well, actually, maybe not saying no thanks, but the fact that you show that you have your own stuff going on is I find that if I were a guy, I find that attractive. And I think the out comment, he could have responded a little bit better. Like, his ego is probably a little bit bruised, but whatever.
But let me just, from the other side of this, let's point out the guy's motivation here. He wants to see what you look like. He doesn't trust what you've put on the dating apps, and he wants to see the reality of it. Because, you know, our dating apps, it's your best self. Oh, I think 1,000% from a guy's point of view, he wants to see what the real deal is here.
Can you blame him?
Maybe not.
There's so many catfish situations going on.
Or not even catfish, but maybe it's like a picture from 4 years ago. Or just like,
right.
You just don't know online.
But so that's why he's doing it. So do it or don't do it, but know that's why he's doing it. And if you don't hear from him again, he didn't like what he saw. Guys are so superficial, and that's what this is.
I agree to a certain extent. Yeah, he wants to see you. I don't think there's anything wrong with FaceTiming before you actually meet somebody in person. I don't know. The whole conversation was weird.
I don't know. I'm a FaceTimer, but for me, my motive is not like I want to see what you look like. I want to see if we vibe.
Right, but that's the female point of view. The male point of view is how hot is she?
Heather, don't listen to me.
Erica was the victim of an ambush FaceTime.
What?
Yeah, that was horrible. I was like texting with this guy for literally, this is bad. We should have done a FaceTime way sooner. We were texting for like 3 weeks or something, and he FaceTimes me out of nowhere. I'm made no makeup, in a sweatshirt, like doing work. And I had to answer because we were already on the phone.
You did not. What do you mean you're already on the phone?
We were on the phone, and then he just clicks video. It was horrible.
Oh, so you could have just been cutesy and been like, oh, I don't have any makeup on. I'm so sorry. Like, let me.
Red flag.
Yeah,
with Erica?
With him.
Someone.
If she says no, he's like, uh-oh.
First of all, if I were you, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to answer without makeup. So
no, exactly. I did, and it was fine. But then I think within a week, we were not speaking anymore. But he also didn't live here. There was so much that I'm really glad that
there's probably a lot to that story. But I don't know. Also, I would FaceTime someone, but if they said no because I want to put makeup on, two things would go through my head. One, either they don't look like the person they are supposed to look like online, or two, maybe this girl is kind of just funny and cutesy and is like, no, I want to put makeup on before I first meet you. Because, like, I don't know. Those would be the two. I would not close off the idea of dating someone if I tried to FaceTime them before I met them in person. I mean, they said, not until I put makeup on. Because then I would just try. I would say, okay, let's do a FaceTime session. Like, let's plan something. That's what I would do. It would be
You're
like
a nice guy.
It would be like a FaceTime date that I would plan. Mm. That's what I would do.
That's cute.
All right. What else we got over here?
Lauren is 19. She's 8 days away from leaving for college. She met a guy at the end of senior year. They had a summer fling, and she caught feelings, and he has too. The same thing happened last summer. I was dating a guy. We decided to keep dating, but he went to college and broke up with me for another girl, and I was a wreck. My current guy and I were not sure what to do. Do we go our separate ways and try to keep the relationship going or live our college life and see if it works out down the road or if we meet other people? I always seem to get these summer flings. I want a relationship, so help. I suck at dating.
Well, hold on. So I seem to somehow end up in long-distance relationships. And I was having this conversation with my friend who also seems to end up in long-distance relationships. And we're like, oh, do we have commitment issues? Like, how is it that we always end up with, like, not always, but we often end up dating or interested in guys that don't live in the same city? So maybe you want a relationship, but you kind of don't. You know what I mean? Like, if you keep having these summer flings, maybe that's all it should be.
It was so funny when she said in the email, this happened to me last summer as well, because all I could think about when you first said a summer fling was like, doesn't it seem to always happen this way? Where like people will write us and say, I'm about to leave for college, but I met somebody like a week before I left. It seems like it happens all the time. My advice, Lauren, would just go your separate ways. You know, you're about to go to 4 years of college.
19?
Lauren's 19. She's about to go leave for college.
Go have fun.
Have fun. You know, listen, when you guys go and do your own college experience and go for 4 years on your own, and if you come back to the same town and you're both single, we'll see what happens. But until then, go to college, have fun, enjoy yourself.
There's so many, you know how many people, I mean, universities in the States are huge. So there's probably so many people you will end up meeting through groups of friends or new classes or whatever. So I would say, remain friends with this guy and don't close off your options to other people.
I agree. I think, the second you get there, you'll wish you had.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And that's what causes real problems when you actually go to college with a boyfriend and girlfriend. And then a month in, you're going to parties with all these people and you realize you want to be single.
By the way, that's what Thanksgiving weekend is all about. You come home and you break up with your summer fling.
Exactly.
Brea, which is a lovely name, by the way, went on a date with a guy, had a really great time with him, totally like him. I found out that not only is he bipolar, but he was married for 3 weeks last year. They had dated for 8 years and then were married for 3 weeks. During those 3 weeks, he was diagnosed and he destroyed their house. Also, that was before he got help and went on medication. So, just to make a point for him, should I run, Brea says.
Being diagnosed with bipolar is an actual, like, it's a condition that he can't help. It's not like, you know, he's like, it's a condition that he can't help.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say to run from someone who has a mental, you know, illness, because that's not right.
I agree with that.
We all have issues, you know, some of us are diagnosed, some of us aren't. But I just want to know what's the issue. Like, okay, take out bipolar. He's bipolar. That's not, you know, that's fine. Cool. Married for 3 weeks. So what? He was married for 3 weeks. Maybe they realized.
I'm not sure that's a so
yeah,
what.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd react that with a so what. I was married for 3 weeks, have two kids. So what? You're fine.
No, the only thing I would be worried about is that he destroyed the house.
Well, there's some red flags going through here. I think the bipolar one is not one of them. Let me specify that.
That's like, we shouldn't even be talking about that.
But okay. It is a factor that you have to talk, you know, at least discuss with that other person before jumping into a relationship with them.
I just feel like, I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't describe it as a red flag. What I would describe it is as something that you guys need to talk about. For example, to relate it to something else completely different would be, on this most recent season of The Bachelorette, there's a guy named Colin, everybody knows, who said that he was a virgin. And I remember other guys talking about that was a skeleton in his closet or a red flag. And it's like, no, it's not. That's just something that him and Becca need to talk about. It's certainly not a red flag. And that's how I would kind of discuss this, where a bipolar disease is something that you definitely need to talk about. I would not describe it as a red flag. But I would describe, obviously, the destruction of the house and the fact that he was married for 3 weeks. Potential two red flags. That's where the issue would come in.
I would ask him why 3 weeks. But I wouldn't judge him based on that. Like, yeah, maybe it's a conversation to obviously talk about. And obviously, if you know this information, then that's something that he wants you to know and he's being honest about it. I would just ask, like, why the house thing, you know, what happened there?
Yeah. And Brea, I would just talk about, like, you know, how much you like this guy. We went on one date. It depends on, like, listen, if sparks flew and you think, holy crap, I think this is love at first sight, then definitely sit down and talk to him about it. But I mean, if it was just a date that kind of went okay, I'm not saying you should run, but, you know, certainly date around.
I mean, look, it's one date.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to get any feedback from people saying, oh, you're saying that people with mental illnesses can't be loved. Look, we all have our issues. We all need to be dealt. They need to be dealt with. You've been on one date with this guy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys out there. If I'm
but I understand, Brea, because, like, girls romanticize relationships. And, we have a tendency, I'm talking about myself. I have a tendency to, like, go on a date with someone that's like, ooh, okay, yeah, they're, like, interested in me, you know, like, maybe I can see if you, like, you have an idea of what they could be or how they could be in a relationship, and you kind of want to give everyone, I'm the type of person that I give everyone that I go on a date with, like, an equal chance until I find a reason not to. So I actually appreciate Brea writing into us with this question, even if it was for one date. Like, maybe there is, you know, there's they have really great chemistry or whatever it is. But obviously, don't close yourself off. Like we told Lauren, don't close yourself off to other options. We're all adults. Let's just, like, ask what happened.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, listen, if you, like I said, it depends on the connection you felt on this first date.
Okay,
if you felt sparks
flew. She's asking a yes or no question. Should I run? Jared.
No, don't run.
Vanessa.
No, just have a conversation. Like,
yeah, because
be honest. There's nothing better than just, like,
I say,
honest.
Find yourself some track shoes and run. Madeline is 19. Dated a guy in high school, and his mom, who raised him as a single parent, passed away unexpectedly right before we started dating. We supported each other, in love with each other, really believed he was the love of my life. But it got to the point where we were destroying ourselves trying to save each other, and after 2 years, I broke it off. It's been over 3 years since, and I think about him every day. Three options here. Tell him how I feel now.
Men.com.
Men.com would be great for her. The Mend app.
That's the fourth option.
Tell him how I feel right now, even though I have no idea how he feels. Two, wait it out. See where life takes me. Maybe I meet someone else. Maybe we end up together in the end. Just let fate take its course. Or three, move on. And here's where the Mend app comes in. She says, if you think this is the thing to do, I need some tips for getting over somebody. Well, the Mend app is for you. Thanks so much for taking the time to help me out. The podcast is great. You guys are amazing.
Oh, we love you.
That's Madeline.
Madeline. Madeline. Madeline or Madeline?
I don't know, actually.
I think it's Madeline.
Do you?
Madeline.
You know, I'm 30, Madeline. And if I can go back to my 19-year-old self, I'm still like the queen of getting my heart broken and like trying to figure, you know, stuff out. But if I were to go back to my 19-year-old self and to think of what I would tell myself when I was 19, I would go back and say, Vanessa, let it be, you know, like if the relationship will come circling back around, it will. I don't believe in, I don't know if it sounds like cliche, but like things do happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. And all the heartbreaks that I went through until I was 28 led me to being on The Bachelor, led me to, you know, being engaged to Nick for a small amount of time. But it led me to this life that I have now where I know so much more about myself and I'm so much happier in the position that I am in now, being like single and knowing what I want, as opposed to, you know, constantly thinking of ways to either like get back with an ex, or because that's when you're younger, you're like, I found the love of my life. But it could also be like someone that you're like enamored by. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, this is what love is.
Yeah, listen, Madeline, I think you should move on. I think that's what it really comes down to. I mean, I remember my first love, and it was wonderful, and she's amazing. But there are some people in this life that you just have to live with in your heart, but not in your life. And I think that this guy might be one of those people. And like you said, you never know what's going to happen in the future. You can come back to each other. But right now, if you haven't stopped thinking about this guy for 3 years, I think you might not have stopped thinking about him because you keep doing all the wrong things that you shouldn't be doing. Checking his Instagram, going on social media, staying in contact with him. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you cut off communication and it's still been 3 years, but I doubt it. So distract yourself. Try to do something different that you haven't done to stop thinking about him and move on with your life.
If you are meant to be together, it will find a way.
It's going
to
happen.
Exactly.
And you're still young. So let's see. You were 19. You guys dated for 2 years, 21. So it's been 3 years. So you're 24 years old right now. You got so much love to give.
19.
She's currently 19. She was 16 when they dated.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Madeline. I'm 30 and I'm single and I'm very happy.
Oh, yeah. Madeline. So, what the hell are you doing?
Don't think about this guy. Don't worry.
Yeah, you're 19. You're fine. Oh, my God. You're going to find love again. Holy crap. Yes, move on. I'm sure he's wonderful. And like Mark said, if it's going to happen, it'll happen. I promise you. So from there, we're going to wrap the show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to a new episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Thank you, Elle from Men Creator. She's a Men Creator for the app. Elle, thank you so much for coming in. Definitely, guys, check that app out. Men Broken Hearts. Sugar Bear Hair, Vanessa. I know you love it so much. Thank you so much, Sugar Bear Hair. Also, thank you for Bill Freeman and Sonia coming in from lovestorymatchmaking.com. Definitely go check it out if you're looking to find the love of your life. Also, 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. Go check it out on Sunday, 8, 7 Central. Vanessa, you are wonderful as always.
I'm going to call you Dean. I mean, thanks, Jared.
No worries. You can call me Dean. Dean will be back either next week or the following week. He's still traveling all around the world. Hopefully, he has some great stories for us. Please keep those emails coming. Those are my favorite part of the show. Easton,
we love you guys.
Love you guys so much for listening.
Do you have the email address?
Yes, it is.
isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com.
That's the email address. Keep them coming. We love hearing from you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you tune in next week where hopefully we all suck a little less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.